Topic given tonight is Christians in sport, and I'm going to try and run through a number of topics, sort of high level, rather than deep diving into any one particular. It's a massive subject, massive area, and the time that we have, we're going to try and skip over. And what I want to do is give you things to think about, young people. I want you to go away from tonight with a desire to perhaps look up some of these verses, to perhaps study some of these situations out that I believe would be relevant to each and every one of you. So it's a very important topic in 2022. Sport is a big part of school life, through university life, and of course many of you. So many of you, just give me an idea, many of you are actually involved in sport, either university, school, or you play for a team outside school. Just give me an idea. Okay, so we're well over half there. So very, very relevant. So what's very important at the start is not everyone has exactly the same view on Christians and sport. And I want to be fair tonight that there are Christians with different opinions, and that's okay. So I'm going to give you my opinion tonight. I'm going to try and back it up from Scripture, but just be aware not everyone has exactly the same view. So I want to make that very clear from the start. So first of all, why would you listen to me on this topic? Okay, we live in an age where, with digital age, everyone has an opinion. And it doesn't matter what experience they have, they can put their opinion on social media and put that opinion out to everyone to read. Well, I like to think I've got a bit of an opinion on this because probably for about 45 years, I have been involved in playing sport. Now, I know I don't look 45. I'm actually a bit older than that. I'm actually 52. But since I was about 7, 8 years old, I can remember playing sport over on the mission field. My parents were missionaries in Papua New Guinea. We went to an American boarding school. So I played American football, baseball and basketball from the age of about 7 or 8. Then we come back to Northern Ireland, got involved in everything you would as a young fella, basketball, football, rugby, athletics, did all that through school. And then after school, my big passion was football. As some of you know, I've been involved with some of you coaching through youth and senior football, and that's been a big passion of mine. So on the screen there is just some things that I've been through. Fortunate to have won a few things as a manager, played. Some of you may recognise the person bottom right, ex-Liverpool manager, currently the Leicester City manager, Brendan Rodgers from Northern Ireland here. So I've had a lot of experience with semi-professional, high-level sport. Currently involved with Huddersfield Town Football Club, so I'm over there quite regularly. And even when I'm not involved officially, I love going to watch it. Okay, and I even managed to drag Brendan to come along. That was to Barcelona. So that's a wee hint for the young men. If you're looking for the right young lady in life, maybe make sure they like or have a similar desire for the sport that you like. That's a good way to maybe start things off in the relationship. But I'm just pointing out I've been involved in sport a lot. So I do think I have an opinion that's worth hearing on what is a very important topic for young people. And hopefully if you're here tonight, and I know you've come to meet friends, I know you've come to a fellowship, you've come probably because of the good food we put on, Nakali as well, the ladies put on. But hopefully you've also come to say, is there anything tonight that can make a difference in my life? Maybe there are some issues with sport or in personal circumstances. You're just not sure what's the right way of dealing with it. Hopefully what I say tonight will give you some guidance on that. So, why sport? Well, first of all, our bodies are absolutely amazing. They're amazing. The design, the movement, the way we are able to do different things with our bodies, and all of that displays the glory of God. The Psalm 139, verse 14, we are fearfully and we are wonderfully made. That word fearfully means that it's with a great reverence. There's a heartfelt interest that God had when he made us as human beings. And when it comes to that word wonderfully, it means that we're unique, we're set apart. And as humans, we are different than all of other God's creations in terms of the animals. We are made in his image, young people. And never forget that. We are actually made in God's image. And think of all the different sports that you can actually do with the body. And the purpose of the video was to give you an idea of course, the different range of sports. Think of the running, the jumping, the swimming, the throwing, the shooting. Think of the eye coordination, the endurance, the decision-making required in sport. Think of the different parts of body that are used, the arms, the legs, the feet, the head. And you know what all these point to? They all point to a creator God. They all point to one who made us to do all those things. And of course, made us in his image. Man was the crowning creation. It was the pinnacle. And you are made in God's image. You're unique. You have value, young person, tonight. You've got value. You are important. And God is interested in a personal relationship with you. And in fact, he doesn't just have an interest in you. He actually loves you. And you know how much he loves you? He sent his son to die on the cross, to provide a way of salvation so that you could be brought back into fellowship with him, that fellowship that was broken back in the Garden of Eden. So what I'm saying is that sport in many ways displays the glory of God in his creation of the human body. But I also think exercise is important. And if you're studying at university or you're at school and all you do is look at the books all day or look at a computer screen, that is not healthy. You should get out. You should do a bit of recreation. And in fact, one of the greatest Puritans that ever lived, Jonathan Edwards, he used to go out almost every day and either walk or do some horse riding or chop wood. He would literally leave his study and he'd go out and he'd chop wood just so that he had physical exercise, got the blood pumping through his body, worked up a sweat. And that's actually very important, young people, for life balance. But also then, not only is exercise vital, but using your talents that God's given you brings glory to him. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Noreen McAfee, who you heard from earlier, was actually speaking at our evening service, and she quoted this verse. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And that verse is rightly applied to full-time service. And it's a great verse for those who are wanting to go full-time for the Lord and to offer their lives. But it's more than that. That verse is for you, young person, tomorrow morning when you go out of bed, and for me and for everybody. Whether you're at school, university, working, whatever your life is, this isn't just about those who go full-time for God. This verse is for every one of us. That when we get out of bed in the morning, if we're saved, we should want to allow our bodies to be used by God in whatever way that is, at work, and I'm saying through sport as well, God can use you. Bishop Taylor Smith, he had the famous saying, make this bed an altar and make me the sacrifice. That's what he prayed every morning before he got up. So there's a challenge for you. Why don't you pray that tomorrow morning when you get up? Make this bed an altar and me the sacrifice. So that's, if you like, the initial thing about sport. Now, I'm very fond of a man called Eric Liddell. So who here can tell me what Eric Liddell was famous for? Don't be shy. What's he quite famous for? What's he usually referred to? In what context? Chariots of Fire. And what was the context around that? I'm just actually spotting another footballer here as well there. Missed you earlier. Wouldn't run on a Sunday. Okay, very, very famous. Wouldn't run on a Sunday. But here's what he said. Because Eric Liddell continued to run after the Olympics, even though he was a Christian before and after the Olympics. But here's what he said. I found it fascinating. I believe God made me for a purpose. But he also made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure. I think that's an amazing statement from someone whose life showed that he was someone who walked very close to the Lord, died out in China as a missionary. And this is a great place to start, young people, when it comes to Christians and sport. That God has made us for a purpose. You might be thinking, well, what's life all about? Why am I here? you know, my parents are Christians and maybe I'm not a Christian yet, and what's this all about? Well, a good place to start is that God has made you for a purpose. Catechism number one, what is man's chief end? I think I'm going to go ahead and do it. I was toying about this or not. How about we go back to Sunday school just for a split, for one moment? I'm going to ask, what is man's chief end? I want you to give me the answer, okay? What is man's chief end? Excellent. The Sunday school teachers have done a good job, whatever churches you're from. So God has made you for a purpose. God gives you talents that you may use on the sports field. And you can actually feel God's blessing, feel God's pleasure, I think, as you partake in sport. Now, sport for many can be a religion. And that's important to highlight that warning. For many people, sport is an idol. For many people, it consumes their thoughts morning, noon, and night. It consumes their desires. It consumes their money. For many people, going to the stadium on a Saturday or on a Sunday in some cases, it's almost like they're going to worship. It's like they're going to their temple for many people. And fans look up to elite players almost like gods. And the sporting world, just like the real world, it's broken. It's broken by sin. And if you want to look for sin, you want to look for the proof that man is degenerate, proof that man is depraved, just look into the sporting world. Look into elite sport. And you'll have all the case studies you want of the brokenness of human nature. But here's an interesting question I ask myself as well as asking you. Are we as excited about coming to church on a Sunday morning as we are going to the stadium, maybe on a Saturday or Friday night? We should be. I think it's good to be passionate about sport. For any of you that know me, you know I'm very passionate about football. But we should have more passion, more joy, more gladness about coming to church on a Sunday morning. Just a thought. Now, should a Christian be involved in sport? So this is the big question. As I said, not everyone has the same view. That's absolutely fine. But we are clearly in this world, but we are not of this world. If you were to turn to John 17, 5 and 17, you'll have the Lord Jesus Christ praying, I pray that you take them not out of the world, but you keep them in the world. So we're in the world. Matthew 5, 13, I'm just going to run through these quickly. We are the salt of the earth. So we actually preserve people we come in contact with. Your neighbors, your society, those you maybe work with, and I would say those that you play sport with, you can have a preserving influence on them. You're a light in a dark place. And of course, many clubs, hockey clubs, rugby clubs, football clubs, whatever, sporting clubs, they're dark places in many ways. But maybe you're the light that can go and shine bright in that dark place. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 2 talks about men being epistles known and read of all men. And I ask the question, unless you go and mix with unsaved people, I'm not saying partake of their sin, but have contact with them. Be friends to a certain degree with them, doing maybe recreation with them. How else can you live out Christ? How can you be a witness? How can you be an epistle where people can look at you and see that you're different if you never mix with the unsaved? And I believe using the abilities that God has given you can bring glory to God. And 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31 talks about whatever we do, we can do it to the glory of God. So I believe God has used Christians involved in sport to witness to people. Now, who here has heard Alfie Stewart give his testimony, or who knows who Alfie Stewart is? Just give an idea. Okay, he's getting on a bit, so he is. So probably younger generation aren't maybe exactly sure. But for those of you who have heard him, Alfie Stewart is a member of our Macrofelt Church, taught the Bible class. He's currently the Missionary Council representative of Macrofelt. Very good standing, but he was one of the best players of his generation in the Irish League. He started to play for Glentoran. He's 4 Irish Cup medals for Glentoran before he was 22. And he wanted to play for Portadown. But he got saved, kept playing football, and turned actually a move to England full-time after he got saved because he was a Christian. And then he stayed and played here in the Irish League. He's 23 senior medals. Okay, so this is someone who continued to play long after he was saved. So some of the ones here will know him. He was involved with me at Loch Gall for a while. Another fellow that was at Loch Gall was a guy called Dara Peden. And he's actually, the next person's there, his nephew, Joe Peden. So who here knows Joe Peden? Or anyone ever heard Joe Peden sing? I know he hasn't sung for a while. Who knows Joe Peden? Yeah, I see a number of hands going up on some Tander Gee. Joe was actually played for Glentoran, got saved, and turned his back on football completely. Never went back. Has never watched a match since. Don't even think on TV. For him, once he got saved, he just turned his back on that part of his life that he was involved in. Now, who was right? Alfie or Joe? Both of them. Both of them are right. Because it's not the same for every individual. For Alfie, he felt that God was happy for him to be involved in elite sport. But Joe felt the temptation of the life he had lived with the drink and the culture around the football club. He didn't want to be involved in that. He didn't want to be tempted to go back in to his previous life. So he decided, it's not for me. So the point I'm making, young people, is 1 Corinthians 6, verse 12. Very important verse. All things are lawful, not all things are, or all things are not expedient. Okay? And there may be things that you can do, but somebody else may think that that's not right. But there may be things that you see somebody else doing that you think they're wrong. But just be careful about judging them. Because not everyone is led in exactly the same way. So, should every Christian play sport? The answer is definitely no. It depends on every individual circumstances. Now, what are some of the challenges? And this is important, young people, tonight. One of the most important slides, I think. Some of the challenges for Christians in sport. Well, there's, of course, the environment. Bad language. Alcohol. Drugs. Sponsorship. Maybe drink companies sponsoring or betting companies sponsoring shirts that you may be asked to wear. You've got the whole LGBTQ agenda, which is now beginning to infiltrate sport. So these are all real issues regarding the environment that you might face in the world of sport. And it's a challenge. It definitely is a challenge. And that's why I say it's every individual must seek God's face as to whether or not that is appropriate for them to be involved in. I spent 26 years in the army. You can imagine the army is not like a Sunday school class. The language, the stories, the things that you come in contact with. But God has his people in a lot of different places in life because they're the witnesses. They're the ones who bear witness to him. They are that light. Then on the other side, there's commitment. And there's time involved in sport. There's the amount of money sometimes you have to spend in sport, contract obligations. And then you have Sunday sport, which we're going to come on to now in a minute. I'm sure a lot of you have heard of this guy, Israel Folau. Hit the news about 2 years ago because he put this tweet up on social media 2019 and he said, "Warning, drunks, homosexuals, adulterers, liars, fornicators, thieves, atheists, idolaters, hell awaits you, repent, only Jesus saves." And he added, "The devil has blinded so many people in the world. Repent and turn away from your evil ways. Turn to Jesus Christ who will set you free." And he was sacked as the playing, I can't remember if it was New Zealand or Australia, I think it was Australia. And he was sacked. And a big massive furore over it. So this is part of the issue for Christians involved, particularly in elite professional sport. You're going to come in contact with this agenda, this liberal agenda that's going to castigate you, it's going to call you a bigot, call you a homophobe, if you simply quote the scripture. Now, for me, what he wrote, I'm okay with. But had he, for me personally, had he have just wrote homosexuals, hell await you, I don't think that's wise. That to me has been too confrontational. It's accurate. But what's our aim for those who have chosen that lifestyle? Yes, we're going to call out their sin, but ultimately we want to see them saved. And God has saved so many people of that lifestyle over the years, so many. And many of them will testify that the people waving placards at them and shouting at them and telling them they're going to burn in hell because of their repugnant sin, that's not what won them to Christ. it was a believer who treated them with a wee bit of respect, a wee bit of dignity, talked to them, communicated with them, still shared the gospel. But that relationship built is what ultimately led them to coming and putting their faith and trust. Does that make sense, young people? Yeah, so I'm just saying be careful when it comes to issues like that. This guy also refused to take the knee recently over in Europe in a match, and again hit the headlines again for refusing to take the knee in the Black Lives Matter. That's another whole topic. We're not going to talk about that tonight. We definitely won't be here long. So let me move on quickly then to Sunday. Okay, there's a woman at past nine. Kyle, I didn't see a wave. Did you wave at me? Okay. Never on a Sunday. Okay. And this is a big one, young people. This is a big one. And what I want to say, first of all, is a lot of people think this is a Free Presbyterian issue. And you may be forgiven for thinking that this is just the Free Peas hold this view. And now all the rest of the churches have moved on. Listen, not a bit of it. Not a bit of it. These are three examples, non-Free Presbyterians, all in recent years, who have refused to do their sport, their job on a Sunday. Michael Jones, great rugby player, captained the All Blacks, one of the best of his generation, didn't go to the last World Cup when he played because he refused to play on a Sunday and was left at home. He was asked how he could be so aggressive on the pitch. I think he's a little bit like Ethan Salt on the pitch, so he is. He's very aggressive, likes to tackle people. And he was asked, how can you be a Christian and you're so aggressive on the pitch? He says, ha, you don't know your Bible. My favourite verse is, it's much better to give than to receive. So that was his answer. Ewan Murray, another player just about 10 years ago, wouldn't play on a Sunday. Dan Walker, I've actually got Dan's book that he put out, or a publication, all about how he refuses to do any BBC work on a Sunday. Right at the height of our broadcasting, you'll see him on Football Focus, the fly him to the open, he won't work on a Sunday. And some brilliant quotes about how he's witnessed to David Beckham and Alan Shearer and people like that when they asked him why he doesn't work on a Sunday. So I'm pointing out, young people, that this is a very, very important issue. As believers, you've got a duty to obey the Sabbath and keep the commandments. It's something that you have to work on diligently. All of us, even the adults, it's not just something for young people. We have to strive to remember to keep the Sabbath holy and be diligent about making sure that we focus our minds on God and on the things of God on a Sunday. But the Sabbath should be a delight. And this is what people miss about the Sabbath. This idea that, well, you can't not play sport. You know, you got to go and sit and fold your arms on the couch. The Sabbath should be a delight. The Sabbath was given to us by God so that we could enjoy him and focus on him. So if you're a Christian, why would you even want to go and play sport on a Sunday if you can spend the day reading his word, fellowshipping with God's people? And that's why people like Dan Walker and Michael Jones and Ewan Murray wouldn't sacrifice Sundays to go and play sport. They just wouldn't do it. Eric Little, talked about him earlier. And you know the story of Eric Little, born in China, comes home, university in Edinburgh, plays for Scotland about six times for the national team. He's then for the Olympics in 1924. Heats are on a Sunday. Refuses to run. Everyone's castigating him. Scotland's first gold medal in history. You're going to throw it away. Wouldn't compromise. He then ran in the 400, which was very strange because he's usually a 100-meter runner, and he won it. And before he went to run, someone gave him a note that said, "Them that honour me, I will honour." 1 Samuel 2, verse 30. And what a story of Eric Little. Now, Eric Little, as I said, refused to run on a Sunday. God blessed him. He went on to be a missionary and left an unbelievable legacy. Now, there's another man called Jonathan Edwards, not the same man I mentioned earlier, the Puritan. Jonathan Edwards won Olympic gold in the triple jump in 2000. And he started off saying he wouldn't jump on a Sunday. Evangelical, made a profession, and I'm not judging his heart. He may well have been saved. But then he got to a point where he said, you know what, I think I can jump on a Sunday. I think I can glorify God by jumping rather than going to church. And young people, a few years later, he actually renounced his Christianity. And he's now a professed atheist. Now, I don't know his heart. He may well be truly saved, and I'm not here to judge his heart. What I will say is, was there a slippery slope where he opened the door to doing things on a Sunday and then lost out with God, and now he's in Bypath Meadow? But how do you deal with Christians who have a different view on Sunday. Because I have a lot of friends in football, and I've even talked to someone like Stuart Elliott, who played for Northern Ireland, and he was an Elam pastor in Hull while he was playing for Hull, sometimes on a Sunday. And I would be like, how does that work? His answer was, well, the commandment allows for necessity and mercy and things that have to be done. And this is my job. This is how I put food on the table for my family. And if medical profession can work on a Sunday, and if farmers can go milk their cows on a Sunday, well, this is my profession. Now, I don't buy into that. I'm just pointing out that some people feel that they look at the issue and they play on a Sunday. But I wouldn't be too judgmental on them in this sense. I would disagree with them. But it's not a salvation issue. It's not a separation issue. And I do want to tell this very quick story before I move on. The very first Irish League game was played in Northern Ireland about 13 years ago. The first year in 70 years, it was Glentoran against Bangor. And there was a Christian for Glentoran and a Christian for Bangor playing in that game. Michael Halliday was for Glentoran, and a guy called, his name escapes me. I've got it here. His name escapes me all of a sudden. Nathan McConnell. So Nathan McConnell, his dad's a Presbyterian pastor here in Northern Ireland. They both decided to play on a Sunday. I remember ringing Nathan up beforehand and saying, Nathan, you can't play. You know, us guys who are involved in Irish League football, you're going to make it so much harder for us to take a stand. You can't play. And he went ahead and he played. And I spoke to him about a week later. And it was quite a tense conversation. And I actually rung him last week to see, does he mind me telling the story? And he said, that's okay. And it was quite a tense conversation. I told him, you've let us down. You've let the evangelical Christian community down by playing on a Sunday. And the Free Church protested that day, and I was there on the Sunday outside the Oval. Remember my old manager, Roy Coyle, walking past. Well, David, well, Gaffer, in to watch the match, and I'm there with our church protesting. And I felt really aggrieved at what Nathan did. But young people, about 7 years later, I was listening to a testimony of a guy called Connor Downey. A guy gave me a CD. Connor was an Irish League player, got saved. Driving down the road, and here's Connor's testimony. I played for Cliftonville. I was really struggling with life, thinking about committing suicide. And we had this footballer signed for us called Nathan McConnell for Cliftonville. And this was strange because Cliftonville would kind of not be a Protestant club, but this guy, Nathan McConnell, arrived in. And he started to witness to us and tell us about Jesus and tell us about the Lord. And then one day after training, there was a bag in my sports bag. And Nathan said, I've give you a Bible. And Connor went home, put the Bible up on top of the shelf, got on with his life. About 3 years later, really struggling, really looking, went back to his mum's house, got the Bible down, read the Bible, and was saved at his bedside. Now, what I'm trying to emphasize, young people, is this. I criticized Nathan for playing on Sunday, and I still would. But in 25 years of playing Irish League football, I never give a Bible out once. Never once. To my shame. So I can be critical of him, but just be careful when it comes to Sunday issue of making too much of an issue with some of your friends, is the point I'm making. So, sports and evangelism. There's no doubt you can use sport when it comes to reaching people, building relationships. And you think youth rallies are something new. That's literally 100 years ago in Scotland. Eric Liddell, famous athlete as evangelist. Eric Liddell's appeal to youth. And he used to travel all over the UK doing youth rallies, just like this, and he would give his testimony. And I have no doubt that he reached many young people with the gospel and encouraged many young Christian young people by him going and being involved in this. Just in literally the last 5 minutes, Genesis 39 verse 1 says that Joseph was brought down to Egypt. Now, Egypt in Scripture, young people, is often and almost always a type of the world. I'm sure you've heard that said. When I used to be in young youth rallies, what I would have heard very often is, young people, Egypt's a type of the world. Stay away from the world. Don't go near the world. And I understand what the sentiment was. But Joseph is in Egypt. And he's right in the center of God's will for his life. But he's in the world. And there, I believe, he was being prepared for service by being out in Egypt, away from like the promised land. And he went through trials. You know, I don't have to go through his life story. He went through temptations. People normally jump straight to Potiphar's wife and the temptation with Potiphar. Away from home, young man, a chance to sleep with his boss's wife. Who's going to know? I don't think that was the biggest temptation he faced. What about being the second most important person in nearly all the world at that point, which Egypt was the greatest nation on earth at that point? The pomp, the popularity, the position. That was probably a bigger temptation to Joseph. Would he stay true to God? Did he have a real relationship with God? So I think that Joseph's life in Egypt was him being prepared for service. And perhaps you involved in sport is God preparing you, is sanctifying you. John 17, 5 to 17. Don't turn for it because of time. You can read it there on the screen. Christ prayed, not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from evil. They are not of this world, even as I am not of this world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Playing sport, young people, the point I'm making is, it's a process of sanctification. Can you keep your temper? How do you respect referees? If you score the winning goal, the winning try, do you get uplifted in pride? If you miss a last-minute penalty, can you deal with the dejection? That's all preparing you potentially for. So if you go to the mission field, and we heard from Noreen, mission field's teamwork. You can't be a one-man band on the mission field. It's teamwork. You have to get on with people. And I think sport is a great way for young people to learn about some of those skills that are actually very useful in God's service. So Joseph was prepared for service. But here's the tension, and we're done in about 3 or 4 minutes, young people. I appreciate your patience. Joseph had a tension. And this is a tension I hope every one of you have if you're saved here. You should have this tension or there's something wrong. Because Joseph's in the wrong place. Genesis 41, verses 40 to 52, which were read earlier by Reuben. Joseph's in the wrong land. He's in the wrong house. He's wearing the wrong robe. He's got the wrong wife, and he's exactly where God wants him. Exactly where God planned for him to be. But here's the question. Was there a tension? Was he happy, or was there a tension? Well, his two names of his boys show that they give them Hebrew names. He was given an Egyptian name, but clearly he said, listen, Pharaoh can rename me. He's not renaming my sons. I'm a covenant son. My boys are going to be brought up worshipping the true God. And Manasseh means God hath made me forget all my toil. And he was able, through all his afflictions and trials, he was able just to let those all go. But Ephraim is interesting. Ephraim means, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. You see, hang on, Joseph, what do you mean, land of your affliction? You have everything you want in Egypt. How is this the land of your affliction? You're second in command of all of Egypt. Ah, where Joseph really wanted to be was back in the promised land, back at Canaan. And if you go to Genesis 50, 24 and 25, his last wish was, take me out of here and bury me back in the land sworn to Abraham. Carry me up, my bones up. Because he was just a pilgrim passing through. And the point I'm making, young people, is as you go through this life, remember you're just passing through if you're saved. The popularity of the sports field, and the praise and the adulation, all of that, it's passing. It won't last. And while you're in this world, as Joseph was, I'm saying keep your eye on what's coming in the future. And you couldn't talk about Christians and sport without talking about C.T. Studd. You couldn't. C.T. Studd was easily the David Beckham of his generation. An amazing, amazing talent in the cricket field. Was involved in the cricket match with Australia that formed the Ashes. And C.T. Studd said this, I know that cricket would not last, and honour would not last, and nothing in this world would last, but it was worth while living for the world to come. And that's the message I'm trying to put across tonight, young people. C.T. Studd, after he was saved, his father was saved through D.L. Moody in a campaign, he continued to play cricket, but at one point in his life, he said, you know what? I want to go and be a missionary. and he gave up all his money, and he was literally a multi-millionaire at that point from inheritance. He gave it all away and went and became a missionary. Threw away the adulation. You could imagine what the social media would be like with CT Studd today. Ronaldo, that's the level this man was at in the UK. Famous. Threw it all away. And here's his quote. "If Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him." God only wants one thing from young people tonight. Just wants one thing. You know what it is? You're everything. You're everything. That's all he wants. Everything. Body, heart, soul, everything. That's what he demands from you tonight. And as I summarize, we're going to ask the Reverend Salt to come up and close in prayer. As I summarize, I believe God has made the human body to do amazing, amazing things. It shows a great creator God that we have. Exercise and recreation, I believe, is important. It's good for life balance. I believe God gives talents, and maybe he's given you a talent. And I know some of you, he does give talent. I've seen you on a football field, and I know some of you play rugby at a high level. God's blessed you with a talent. But be aware, there are dangers in sport. There are definitely dangers that can take you away from God, and you have to guard against them. I would definitely encourage you to always say no to Sunday sport. Don't make excuses for it. And I do believe that sport offers believers an opportunity to live for Christ. And I trust tonight, as we've sought to cover some of the issues around Christians in sport, that if you're in sport, that God will bless you in sport. He'll use you. But more importantly, that he'll call you away from sport and call you into full-time service for him. Thank you for listening.